We are going now to the New Testament, and we're looking at the first book of Timothy. It's our practice here to alternate between Old Testament and New Testament, or between Hebrew scriptures and Greek scriptures. So we're taking a break from the book of Proverbs, and we're looking at the first letter to Timothy. The reason why we're doing that is because the last time we were covering the Greek scriptures, we finished the letters to the Thessalonians, and this is the next book in order. First Timothy, we're not going to get very far this morning. It's by way of introduction. I'll read the first four verses. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Shaul, an apostle of Yeshua Mashiach, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Yeshua Mashiach, our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Yeshua Mashiach, our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. May God bless that portion from his holy word. By way of introduction, first of all, by the time this letter was written, the majority of our people were not in the land, but outside. They'd been dispersed by the Assyrians, by the Babylonians, and the majority of our people, even as it is today, the majority of our people then as now were in the diaspora or in the dispersion. Here's an example in James chapter 1. When James, Yaakov, wrote his letter, he addressed it to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Yeshua Mashiach, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. The 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And when Peter wrote his first letter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Yeshua Mashiach, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He mentions the dispersion or diaspora. The reason for letter rather than a book is because in the days of the prophets had a captive audience, but by this time they were not readily reached. The prophets could not command an audience of people. They were scattered throughout the countries in the Roman Empire and even further beyond. We know that there were Jewish people even as far as China and India. So they were not readily accessible. In the days of Jeremiah the prophet, for example, if we look at Jeremiah chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, we see what was the usual situation. Jeremiah 19, verse 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen flask, and take some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests, and go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the potsherd gate, and proclaim there the words that I will tell you. So he took his audience with him. But it was no longer the case when after the Lord Yeshua came, the custom of letter writing began. Here we read in also in Jeremiah chapter 29 that already the prophet was beginning to correspond with people who were captives in Babylon. So the custom of letter writing began with the later prophets. Jeremiah 29, verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. There we see the need for letters. Another vital consideration is that now God's saving message of salvation, was not only sent to Israel, but to all the nations. God says in Isaiah chapter 65, speaking of those days when the gospel would be taken to the world, something which the earliest Jewish believers found difficult to adjust to. Ironically, in those days, they used to ask, is it possible for a Gentile to get saved by our gospel? Nowadays, people are saying, is it possible for a Jew to be saved through our gospel? How things have changed. Isaiah 65, verse 1, God says, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. And our Lord Yeshua himself said to the people of his day, many shall come from the north and from the south, from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. And you who are the legitimate successors of the gospel will be excluded because of your unbelief. So that is why this letter was written. And that's why most of the Greek scriptures are in the form, the majority of the scriptures in the New Testament are in the form of a letter. Let's come to verse 1. Shaul, an apostle of Yeshua Mashiach, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Yeshua Mashiach, our hope. Paul, he's called here. This is the one that was called Saul, but now he's the apostle to the Gentiles, so he takes upon himself the name of Paul. The first instance we have of it is when Shaul was in the island of Cyprus. He was opposed by a false prophet, and we read that Saul, who is also called Paul, turned and looked at him and pronounced judgment at him. That's the first time we read that Saul was called Paul. It was the Gentile equivalent of the Hebrew name. It occurs also in the book of Genesis, where Joseph was called by Pharaoh Zaphnat Paaneach, revealer of secrets. In the book of Daniel, chapter 1, Daniel and his friends Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah were called Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's why here we have the Gentile equivalent of the Hebrew name, Paul. We read about him, he is an apostle of Jesus Christ, an apostle of Yeshua Mashiach. Apostle means one who is sent, an envoy, an ambassador. He wasn't the first envoy that God sent. If we go back to the book of Exodus, we find that Moses himself was an apostle or an envoy or an ambassador. Let's turn back to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. God speaks to Moses from the burning bush. Exodus 3, verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Come, Moses, you be my apostle, you be my envoy, you be my ambassador. As it was, as it is with ambassadors today, they never speak what they want to say, they just relay what their leader has told them to say. So it was with Moses. In chapter 4 of Exodus, Moses pleaded to be excused, and then God answers to him. I'll read from verse 10 through 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go. That is, Moses, you're my apostle. Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. I'm not asking you to speak out of your own heart or out of your own mind. I will put my words in your mouth. That's what he said to Jeremiah much later when he called Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah says in chapter 1, the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and he says, said to me, See, I have put my words in your mouth, and you shall go to all that to whom I send you. That's what God was saying to Moses. Here's Moses still pleading, please send somebody else to be your ambassador. Verse 13. But he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. But God was not taking no for an answer, and Moses had to go. And Shaul says the same thing in the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 20. Now therefore we are ambassadors. There's another synonym for the word apostle. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Messiah. It's a synonym for apostle. We are ambassadors for Messiah as though God were pleading through us. That was the office of an apostle or an ambassador. His leader was speaking through him, using him as his spokesman. Now then, we are ambassadors for Messiah, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Messiah's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Messiah, our substitute. The term apostle is even used of Messiah himself in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 1. We are bidden to consider, to contemplate Messiah, God's ambassador to us. Chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 3, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Messiah Yeshua, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. Moses was a type of Messiah. In this way, as well as in many other ways, he was sent. And so was Messiah sent, the sent one. What are the qualifications of an apostle? In brief, an apostle had to be one that was called and sent by Messiah himself. Look how he puts it in John chapter 15 and verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that he should go and bring forth fruit. An apostle is one that is called and sent by Messiah, And this is what Shaul claims for himself in his letter to the people in Galatia. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Yeshua Mashiach. The Lord appeared to him. The Lord said to him, I have chosen you to be my apostle to the Gentiles. So an apostle was one that was called and sent by the Messiah. He had to be also an eyewitness of the Messiah. And Yeshua did appear to Shaul visibly when he was being addressed by Ananias in Damascus. Ananias said to him, the Lord God of your fathers has chosen you that you might see that just one and hear his word. And Shaul himself says, am not I an apostle? Am not I free? That's 1 Corinthians 9. Have I not seen Yeshua Mashiach, our Lord? So he is an apostle. John, when he wrote his first letter, 1 John chapter 1, is really saying, we are the apostles of Messiah. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Yeshua Mashiach. So John himself claims apostleship. An apostle was also one that was supernaturally enabled by the Holy Spirit to write scripture. Just like the prophets, like Moses, like David, so these apostles were supernaturally inspired to write scripture. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. Shaul is speaking about himself as an apostle. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. He's claiming here inspiration. When the apostles and the prophets wrote scripture, they were infallible. In themselves, they were fallible men, but when God spoke through them, the message was infallible. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Well, I have to read from verse 15. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. In other words, the letters of Shaul were scripture. Peter is acknowledging this when he speaks about people who twist what Shaul has said, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. And earlier in his letter, Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. The claim to full inspiration. Scripture is totally inspired, fully inspired by God. We speak about the inerrancy of Scripture. That is to say, Scripture has no error in it. And now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that is our position. We hold by this. In these days where the inerrancy of Scripture is being attacked, it's nothing new. It's the voice of the serpent who says, "Yea, has God said?" Unbelief puts a question mark where God puts a period. Apostles were those who were supernaturally endowed by the Spirit to pen Holy Scripture. Apostles also were authenticated by signs and by wonders. When Shaul wrote to the Corinthians in his second letter, he said, "Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all power and signs and wonders. They authenticated my ministry." And so the Lord Yeshua, the preeminent apostle, says, "Even if you do not believe my words, believe the works. They testify of me, that I am the one, the sent one of God." And lastly, and briefly, apostles in what they wrote, prophets in what they wrote, had universal spiritual authority. Not just spiritual authority over those to whom they wrote, but their letters apply to all believers, to all people. Their spiritual authority is universal. No one can say what Shaul wrote in this letter was meant only for those people, the Corinthians or the Ephesians or the Philippians or what have you. No, what Shaul wrote applied in the first instance to the people in Corinth or Ephesus or whatever, but the authority extends to all the family of God, all the family of God that are here on earth. The authority is universal. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 17. Shaul has something to say about that. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 17. Speaking about a particular case he's addressing, he says, "But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches." So it is a word that applies to all believers. The letter to the Hebrews is not just meant for Jewish believers, as some preachers assert. In the first instance, it was written with those in mind, but what truths are in the letter to the Hebrews apply universally across the board to all the family of God. We cannot say, "This does not apply to me because I'm not a Jewish believer." It applies to you because you are a believer, period. Whether Jewish or Gentile makes no difference. The authority of the Word of God is supreme and it is universal. So there we are. Those are the qualifications of an apostle. We come back to our first verse and we read, "Paul, an apostle of Yeshua Mashiach." The name Yeshua is the given name of Messiah and it was prophesied. It was foretold. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Yeshua, for it is he who shall save his people from their sins. We have it even as far back as the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Here's the voice of the Messiah speaking, and he's addressing not his own people, but the nations of the world. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples, from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. There's a prophecy that he would be named at the time that he was in the womb of his mother. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. And that was fulfilled when the angel told Joseph, you shall call his name Yeshua, for it is he himself who shall save his people from their sins. What does the name Yeshua mean? It means Jehovah is salvation. And here he is personified as the salvation of the world in Isaiah 62. Isaiah chapter 62. Verse 10 and 11. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Take out the stones. Lift up a banner for the peoples. Do you notice the difference between people earlier on in this verse and now peoples, plural? In the first instance, it was for the nation of Israel. But in the second instance, it was for the world. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. And their salvation is not just a condition or a situation, but it is a person. It's embodied in a person. Surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. There it is. Their salvation, your salvation, my salvation, is a person. And that person has a name. And that name is Yeshua, the Anointed of God. An apostle of Yeshua Mashiach, the Anointed One, the Anointed Savior. In Isaiah chapter 61, just before this text that I quoted, Messiah speaks. Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. Messiah speaks, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Here's the Anointed One identifying himself. And centuries later, seven centuries later, the Lord Yeshua in the synagogue at Nazareth read these words. When he sat down to teach, he began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? The Anointed One, the Divine Sender, Yeshua the Messiah. So here he is, the one who has been sent. He's called our apostle, the apostle and high priest of our profession. But the one who is being sent, who's the apostle of our confession, is also the sender. The sent one is also the sender. And this comes out in this term, Messiah, the sent one. Apostle, the sent one, Messiah, the sender. He says to Jeremiah, I have sent you. When Isaiah saw the glory of Messiah, in chapter 6 of Isaiah, he says to Messiah, seated on his throne, in great glory. Here am I, send me. So the one who is sent is also the sender. And Shaul says, the sender has sent me. Shaul, an apostle of Yeshua Mashiach, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Yeshua Mashiach, our hope, sovereignly appointed to the task. Let's look at the book of Acts to see how Shaul describes the fact that he was sent. Acts chapter 22, verse 21. He's speaking about his encounter with the Lord Yeshua on the road to Damascus and subsequently. I'll read from verse 17 to put that statement in context. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance. And so I'm saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. There was the command to go to the Gentiles, to the nations of the world. And here he says in his letter to Timothy, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior. When he says God our Savior, he's emphasizing the fact that our Savior is no less than God himself. This is something that even the sages of Israel have to admit, that the Savior of Israel is also the God of Israel. When God came to deliver his people from the land of Egypt, he said in Exodus chapter 12, I myself will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite every firstborn. I myself. And now here he is as our Savior, not from physical distress, but our Savior from spiritual distress. Just as God came in person to deliver his people from the outward bondage of Egypt, so now he comes in person to deliver his people, his spiritual people, from the bondage of sin and of Egypt. God, our Savior, and the Lord Yeshua Mashiach, our hope, our anointed Lord. He speaks about the Lord Yeshua as our hope. That is a messianic title. It's found in Psalm 71. Psalm 71. We're going to look at a few passages where God is represented as the hope of his people. And when Shaul speaks about our Lord Yeshua Mashiach being our hope, he's saying Messiah is no other than that God spoken of by the prophets. Psalm 71, verse 4 to 6. Psalm 71, verse 4 to 6. David is praying in his old age. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. David there is speaking to Jehovah, and he says in verse 5, you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. And now Shaul is saying, the one to whom David prayed in that psalm is no other than Yeshua himself. Jehovah Jesus, the Eternal One made flesh for our sakes. In Jeremiah 17, there's a blessing pronounced on those that trust in God, make him their hope. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. Not in the Lord, but his hope is embodied, is personified in Jehovah. And verse 13 again. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Or again in verse 17. Do not be a terror to me. You are my hope in the day of doom. And Prophet Joel also speaks about the Lord being the hope of his people at the time of their great crisis. Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. Verse 14 to 16. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. He is the hope of his people. Or once more in the letter to the Colossians, Messiah in you, the hope of glory. So when Shaul writes here, our Lord Yeshua Mashiach, our hope, he's saying our hope is personified, embodied in the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us. He is our hope personified, just as he is our salvation, our light, and various other titles he took upon himself or that were given to him. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. These describe him. The Lord Yeshua says, I am the bread of life. He that believeth in me shall never hunger. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. So there is verse 1. Shaul, an apostle of Yeshua Mashiach, by the commandment of God our Savior, and the Lord Yeshua Mashiach our hope. The way it is put, the way those words are put, it can legitimately be translated or reworded like this. By the commandment of God, who is our Savior and our Lord, whose name is Jesus Christ. And there we have to leave it for today, but God willing, next week we'll go on to the salutation to Timothy and the mandate that was given to Timothy. For now, we've got 10 minutes or so for questions, comments, queries. But first, let's pray. Let's ask God to bless what we have been looking at. Our loving Father, we thank you that in Messiah we find all our hope. He is our hope, he is our peace, he is our light, he is our salvation. He is all that God is. We thank you in his name. Amen.